All right, we are live. Welcome to the Android Does Show, episode 15. Thanks for being patient with us or having some issues with the new Google Hangouts on Air. Like you do, it's a new product. Google also has issues with new products. Go figure. My name is Jeremiah from AndroidDoes.net. I'm joined tonight by John and Nick. How you guys doing tonight?
Not too bad now that we got it going.
Only 25 minutes late, no big deal.
Yeah, blue screen and death computer, whatever.
We all love Windows.
Of course. Well, we're back this week. It's been 2 weeks. We took last week off, if you didn't notice. You should have. You should have missed us immensely. But we're back now, and we got a lot to talk about. Things are... lots of rumors on the horizon, lots of news as well, some pretty good app updates. So have some fun and chat like we do. So jumping right into some news, the Galaxy S4, we found out today, will support AWS LTE. That's Advanced Wireless Service. This is software upgrade for the Galaxy S4. It's all it's going to take is a software update. It's already got the hardware. It's already ready to roll. Just needs to get that software to support AWS. What that's going to do for Verizon's LTE is basically double the current LTE speeds. Some of us are seeing pretty good LTE speeds. There are spots that it still averages 8, 10 megabits, 12 megabits down. A couple 3-5 megabits up, which is pretty good for mobile service. Nick, not so much.
It sucks here.
So you're gonna double from 2 to 4 then, huh?
2 to 4, that'd be great.
So what were LTE speeds when you first noticed down there in Florida?
When I first got the Nexus, I was getting like 36 pretty much up and down. It was almost symmetrical.
Nice.
And it depends on where you go. It seems like south of Orlando, you get in the 50s. I've even seen as high as 60s. I mean, right now, let's see. Look, it's like 4. That's terrible. This is supposed to be LTE, and it's not. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's still LTE, but the speeds suck.
Right.
So, yeah, and it's not like I live in a high-populated area. I mean, I think this town is maybe only 30,000. It can't be that much. I'm not really sure why it dropped off like it did, because I haven't moved.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they shuffled some of that capacity, because you're right outside of Orlando.
Yeah.
So maybe they are kind of, routing the network stuff to, the city to cover Disney World and whatnot.
Yeah, who knows? And I know it's terrible out by Disney, too, but that makes sense, because there's like 10 million people over there. So.
Right, and it's always lots of people in and out.
All kinds of things. All the networks are terrible over by Disney, but we'll not get into that.
Well, hey, if it doubles from 4.5 to 9, that's an improvement, right?
Oh yeah. Well, and I mean, maybe that'll compete with the supposed LTE Advanced that's supposed to roll out on like T-Mobile and some of these other carriers that are supposed to be announcing it sometime this year.
Yeah, I heard about that too. The LTE or T-Mobile was just going to skip this first iteration of LTE and jump right to Advanced.
Maybe
to kind of leapfrog. Yeah, we'll see. I think they said the same thing with UMTS and HSPA, and that didn't pan out so well either for them. So,
yeah.
John, well, what about you, man?
The thing with the Verizon LTE, when I first got the Thunderbolt, there wasn't any LTE where I live. In fact, I remember driving 6.5 hours to go to New Orleans and get LTE down there. We went on vacation down there, and I was like, LTE, LTE, and of course the first thing I did was run a speed test, and I got about 16, maybe 20 at the most down there, and as LTE spread across and kind of gone through Louisiana, I never saw anything spectacular, like Nick was saying. I've never really seen anything higher than 24 or 25, but I highly, highly suspect that this little bugger right here is the reason why Verizon's LTE went to crap. With the so many people jumping on the iPhones and they'll deny it left and right, but I definitely have noticed that it's definitely nowhere near as robust as it used to be. Like, I used to get 12, you know, pretty consistently, but not so much the speed's going down, but like the throughput doesn't seem to be quite there anymore.
Right.
And, you know, who knows? Hopefully the technology will maybe bring it back to where it was when it first launched, but I guess yeah, we'll see. Nice.
You know, well, happened with 3G and the other stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 3G same on exact thing. Is you might as well be on dial-up. It's
well, I meant more of AT&T, but you know.
Hey, man, I read a report tonight that there were comparisons between the big networks' data speeds, and AT&T now, on average across the country, apparently is edging out Verizon just a little bit. So
makes sense.
This AWS, I don't know if it does anything. I haven't done any kind of research on the technical specs. I don't know if it does anything for capacity, if it's going to help that throughput at all, or if it's just going to increase your upload and download speeds on a speed test, you know? then that's a real question. Like, what in? Because the first time I tested out LTE, we didn't get it here in Central Virginia for at launch. I took a business trip to Louisville, Kentucky, and they had it in, like, one tower in downtown Louisville had LTE, and it was running at like 12 or 14 megabits. It wasn't that fast. So John, my experience has been very similar to yours. Every once in a while, it'll get up to like 18, 20, 22 megs down. But not very often. It's more often 6 or 8. So,
yeah, I guess there's only so much porn that can be done downloaded at one time.
Right.
Beautiful.
Yep. What's cool though is it kind of, and I hate to use this term because it's not really accurate, but I can't think of anything else better, kind of future-proofs the Galaxy S4, at least for the next, what's coming up next, I know for Verizon at least, sure, as far as network technology. So it makes it a little more enticing if you're looking at, you know, a couple of different high-end devices. Obviously, if you're on AT&T or T-Mobile, not really going to matter to you. But yeah, that's
we all know how I feel about Verizon, Samsung, Galaxy radios.
Well, dude, and that's the other thing. Luck. Are we going to actually see good speeds on? Because my wife gets better speeds and better consistent 4G coverage with her Motorola Razr M,
right,
than I do with Motorola, my Samsung Galaxy Nexus. Yeah, we were.
That's Samsung in general, I think.
Yeah. So is it really going to be, you know, the Galaxy S4 being the first one to get it? Is that that big a deal? Is it going to matter? Because
it depends on whether or not they fix our radios.
Yeah. What'd you say, John?
I said it might be something to be scared of. It's another thing that can go wrong. You know. So
it's true. Yep, you're going to all of a sudden drop back to, you know, 1XRTT and barely be able to send a text message. So,
yeah, don't even mention that.
Yep.
Well, I don't know why that's even still running.
Text messaging primarily. And, you know, some of the emergency bands.
Yeah.
It's got pretty wide. It's like AT&T's old edge. And I don't even know if this is still up and running.
GPRS stuff?
Yeah, and I was even thinking before that, the TDMA stuff, which I think is gone now, but they legacy networks, they just keep them around for that one guy way out in the sticks who has to, you know, because the coverage is a little...
You got to keep in mind, too, that as much as these carriers have to you and me on a retail side, they have a lot of enterprise and businesses running off of those old legacy networks that have a lot of equipment that would need to be upgraded to move to, you know, Verizon wants to move all the way over to LTE, and there's like vending machines that communicate with servers with cell radio, so all that stuff needs to be taken into account too.
Yeah, we have a bunch of stuff out in the field, just on the road. They all use 3G modems.
Yeah.
So there's not that many to replace, but yeah, you know, we're one business, and then you have however many out there that are doing similar type stuff. I mean, I know Redbox, at least for a while there, was using cell modems, especially in areas where they couldn't get, you know, any kind of internet connection in the store or whatever. I don't know if they're using Verizon, and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no, and the concept's all the same, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point, John. It's a real good point. Go ahead.
Oh, we're talking about the Galaxy S4 getting AWS LTE with, I wonder if the Dev Edition will have all that.
That was going to be my next question, yeah. You're exactly right. If that's something that, because that Dev Edition is not vanilla Android. It's not running stock.
It's just a mock.
Right, exactly. So the Galaxy S4 Developer Edition was, I don't know if it was officially announced, but it was showing up on Samsung's website as available on Verizon and AT&T. The AT&T version got pulled for a little while, and I'm not sure if it's back up or not. But it's not the Nexus Experience, quote-unquote, Galaxy S4 that Google announced at I.O. It's just the Developer Edition. It's still running TouchWiz on top of Android 4.2. Just with an unlockable bootloader. I don't even know if the bootloader comes unlocked. But
so the Dev Edition and the Google Edition are two separate SKUs.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
They're probably going to be priced the same because I believe the Dev Edition is $649. And that's how much the Google Edition GS4 is. That's what they announced it at I.O.
Okay.
Yeah, not the Play Store.
So it's still not...
It's still a lot of money.
Right. But if you have to have one unlocked, or at least unlockable, I don't know why you'd get this Dev Edition over the Google Edition. You know, maybe you like TouchWiz, or it's something where you need to build around the TouchWiz environment for whatever you're developing.
What I wasn't clear on with those Google editions, and now that we're having all the HTC rumors as well, considering it's the same hardware, wouldn't you just be able to flash a TouchWiz ROM or whatever on it?
You should be able to, yes.
I mean,
download an RUU for the HTC One.
Yep, and then I guess the opposite for, you know, if you get a carrier-branded version of the phone, you know, wouldn't you just be able to flash one of these AOSP, you know, built for the hardware
ROMs? You should be. That should not be a problem. I'm thinking back to when I used to carry, probably the Thunderbolt was my last HTC device, and I would jump between Sense ROMs and stock ROMs all the time. So
you didn't unlock the DNA.
No. Review units I have to be careful with, man. When I was selling phones years ago for Verizon, I got a demo version of the first BlackBerry Storm. And at the time, I was all into BlackBerry, and I was running, you know, you could, like, bake different things for it. And I bricked it. I bricked it messing with it.
Wow.
The first night that I got it home, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and play with this, whatever. And I really didn't care because it wasn't mine. And I didn't get in trouble for it, but... I didn't have to come out of pocket for that one. Ever since, anytime I get a review unit, I'm not messing with it because
you don't want that. No good.
But
the Storm had that Shore Press button, the screen, right? It like clicked when you touched it. Worst idea ever.
Yeah, and the Storm 1 was even worse than the 2. They kind of tightened that up, but the Storm 1, the screen was really loose, like it almost shimmied when you moved it. Yeah, awful.
Interesting.
So,
welcome to the BlackBerry Dust Show.
Right. A little tangent there, but yeah, even some of the features, some of the eye tracking software and stuff that the S4 has, that stuff's not going to work on a stock ROM. You know, if you're running, you know, those apps are specifically built by Samsung. Most of those are the native Samsung apps. That utilize those sensors and the front-facing camera that way. So unless some devs want to reverse engineer that or write their own, I'm fine with it because I actually kind of like the S4 hardware. But
I could just get a couple wire ties and a little bit of glue and just snap it, connect to it, and you're good to go.
Yep, just carry that around with me.
Oh, very nice. Just stick it on your head.
Yep. So the bootloaders for this as well for the Galaxy S4 and the HTC One on Verizon and AT&T are unlocked. Dan Rosenberg is absolutely crushing it. Those bootloaders, he's released those unlock methods. So if you do happen to pick up a carrier version and you want to unlock them, you can, at least for now, until they patch the holes, which probably won't take them long, but...
And then it'll probably not take them long to figure those out, too.
Right. No,
I don't know
really...
why they bother.
Mm-mm. It took him no time at all to come up with those.
Yeah, it was pretty nice, because I know sometimes, at least, it used to take forever for this stuff to get broken.
Months and months and months, yeah, man.
Jeez, is the Droid X even... Has it ever been broken? I don't remember.
That was... It wasn't... The bootloader was never cracked. And I guess, to be fair, these bootloaders are not cracked either. It's some kind of workaround. With the Droid X, it was even more intense to where they actually bypassed that initial bootloader. They call it a bootstrap. So it bypassed that bootloader.
Yes. I remember that thing.
The Droid X, the Droid 2, I don't remember what else, if there were any others. The Droid
3
and 4, maybe.
I still have files on my computer from my Droid X bootstrapping it, and
yep.
That was my first. That was my when I first discovered how powerful Android was, and my, like even that was kind of gated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, yeah. It was just you know. So that's where it all began for me.
Yep. I think I still have some of those from the original Droid, some of those old files like up on Dropbox or something.
Yep.
Some of that stuff you had to ADB push to get it rooted. So.
Yeah. Droid X is the first Android phone that I had ever played with. I had a friend that had one, and that was really what was like, holy cow, this thing's awesome. A lot of new stuff you can do.
The screen was so big.
Yeah,
it was.
The screen was 4.3 inches. My God.
Yeah,
like,
it's freaking
oh, God,
huge.
Look how big it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, wham!
That was the first big one, man. Absolutely. Because everything else was 3 inches, 3.5 inches, you know. 3.7, I think the OG Droid was, but yep.
I had the BlackBerry Tor at the time, and it was messing up real bad with that trackball, and they gave me a BlackBerry Bold as a replacement. And the screen on the Droid X, I swear, was bigger than that whole phone.
It was, man. I carried a Tor for work for a while. Yep, and it was that the phone, the Tor was like this tall, and the Droid X was obviously. Slightly bigger than 4.5 or 4.3 inches corner to corner, so.
And now we're all excited about white Nexus 4s.
Yeah. It's
Are we excited? Raise your hand if you're excited.
I'm fair to middling.
Where's my stock cricket noise? Can't find it.
Uh-oh. Yep. It's,
Too little, too late.
Honestly, I like the white. I don't think it looks bad.
It's nice. They just should have done this from the beginning.
Yes. The options, right? Like, that's the whole
point.
Yeah,
look. White phone. I don't know.
Yeah.
White's pretty nice. I mean, it looks great on these type of devices, but I don't know. It's just, does anybody really care about the Nexus 4 anymore?
And there's real no upgrades to it. Still the same 8 and 16 gig, storage.
Oh.
Still running 4.2 Jelly Bean. It's not 4.3. You find the crickets.
And no LTE, which is bizarre considering the Nexus Experience GS4, right?
Yep.
That seemed to pretty much debunk that whole, oh, we can't have LTE because it's not open source or whatever excuse they used for that. And it's,
yep.
I'm pretty sure it's still got the LTE radio in the phone, doesn't it?
The Nexus 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because when it first came out, they were cracking that
Stupid.
And it was working, I don't remember what carriers. They got it running on.
I know you can use it on T-Mobile if you use the old radio.
Yeah.
I assume AT&T is the same thing because I think they both use band 4?
Yeah, band 4.
I'm forgetting my bands. Yeah, it's 4. So,
and that apparently was patched because they never got that through FCC approval.
Yeah, they don't have an FCC thing, which I don't understand that one either. But let's not go into that, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it was just something that LG didn't want to do, so they didn't. So we got stuck without. And then those were the two things that I really thought they were going to upgrade. Give us a 32 gig version, so there's more storage. Give us LTE. But nope. So we don't even know if Google Play is going to stock it. It might just be through LG's website. If you want one, you can't get it through Google. We don't know yet. It launches tomorrow, so we'll find out. And I have to imagine that it's going to be in Google Play, but it might not be.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah. Unless this is something that LG had in the works and then Google decided they didn't want to subsidize. So.
Yeah, maybe that's why it took so long. They were fighting about it.
Yeah. Because it definitely doesn't take.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. It doesn't take that long for them to roll the manufacturing over to change the color of the plastic.
It shouldn't.
So. But, you know, HTC is coming up with the One. That's a good thing. So LG with the White Nexus 4 may not have moved quickly enough, but HTC is definitely having some success. They've already sold around 5 million HTC One units in about a month and a half or so, which is fantastic.
That's about time.
Yeah.
It's about time they really knocked it out of the park with that phone. That thing is just, it's phenomenal. Yep. Every day, my friend got one, I think it was last week, and it seems like every day he comes in, it's like, holy crap, check this out. It's just, there's so many things, and it is so fast, it doesn't feel or look like Sense at all. They fixed pretty much all the garbage, all the problems that Sense had. I mean, it's just, and those freaking speakers. I don't know if you've heard one, but
yeah.
They're unreal. They really are.
Yeah. It is really, really impressive.
So, yeah, I'm really glad. I'm really glad. They're still trailing Samsung. Samsung's already sold over 10 million Galaxy S4s in, you know, less than a month. But I don't care. Samsung is this massive juggernaut.
Yes.
You know, they still haven't caught up with Apple as far as sales go, because Apple sold 10 million iPhone 5s, I think, in like 3 or 4 days. But they're on that level. HTC is still kind of an underdog. And I want to see them make it.
Yeah, HTC's not even on the top 5, I think, in worldwide.
No. Apple, Samsung, Huawei, ZTE, and then LG was 5th, yeah.
Yeah. I think Sony's just below that.
Yep. So HTC is really, really falling off. Hopefully not for long. They just need to replace some executives.
Yeah.
And well, that's,
who the heck knows about Motorola?
Yeah, Motorola is part of Google now, so they're not going anywhere. The question is just whether or not Google wants to continue making hardware. Which they may not. They may not want to keep making phones. Who knows?
Yeah, it hasn't worked out real well sales-wise.
And we're still, I haven't looked at the time, but I think we're still in that initial like 12 to 18-month window that they had talked about when they first bought Motorola, and they said, hey, we have this pipeline we have to work through of these devices, and that's why you're getting a Razer M in pink and then another blue one for Father's Day, right?
It's weird. It's just weird.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Motorola wasn't trying hard. They knew that they were going to spin the business off, so they weren't coming up with anything long term. It was just reiterations. Here's a Razer Max. Here's a Razer Max HD.
It's hard to get a lot of work done when you're on your knees for Verizon all the time.
Right. unfortunately.
This is very true.
So that's why I'm glad that the Verizon Motorola X phone hit the FCC, but it's also coming for AT&T. Apparently T-Mobile and Sprint as well. So we've seen the Verizon one now. It hit the FCC today, I think. Might have been yesterday. But I'm really excited, not so much for the hardware, because that is, I mean, it's going to be mid-range, whatever, with a 4.3-inch screen and, you know, last year's quad-core processor. 10?
No, I'm pissed. It says, it sounds like you're typing, so we muted your mic. And my hand, I'm not typing.
Oh. Good job, Hangouts on Air.
You're typing, John. You're typing.
We can see your hands in this video, but you're typing.
That's right.
Hands on top of the table.
It's all the fury at Motorola not putting out a top-end phone.
Right, right.
So angry. Because they still have the good radios.
You're right.
Google should have bought Amazon Wireless so they could sell their phones through Amazon.
I wish. Or at least partner. Learn something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This is how you run a store.
Yeah.
They could learn something. Maybe so Amazon can't bastardize Android anymore.
Right. Google could learn something with selling phones online from Verizon or Wirefly. Like, take your pick. Everybody does it better than they do.
Yeah, it's sad. Oh, well.
But hopefully.
Maybe they'll fix it.
With this new X phone, we'll see what they're going to do on the software side. We've already heard that they're kind of pairing back Moto Blur. So I'm excited to see what, if anything, do they keep it just, you know, almost stock and then just a couple of Motorola apps? Are they going to try and use this to kind of play with some different things software-wise? Because that's what they do well. I don't know. We'll see. But one more last piece of news here that back on the HTC One and the GS4, if you're into running ROMs, we were talking about a developer edition and a Google edition Galaxy S4 and maybe a HTC One version of that coming too. You've already got CyanogenMod 10.1, AOKP, and now Paranoid Android. They're out. They're early builds. They're still in beta. I don't even think they're nightlies yet, but they're out there. So if you're not a fan of the new Sense or bloated TouchWiz, you've got options. So,
doesn't Paranoid have that kind of took what Facebook did with the chat heads and put it into their messaging?
Halo, yes.
Very nice.
So, which is something I need to flash and try out because I have not played with that. They released a Halo app into the Play Store, but it's not actually like that chat heads that pops up every time you get a message. It just takes whatever app you select and makes it sticky to the notification pane.
Interesting. Yeah, I checked that thing with both of my phones and said it wasn't compatible. So I assumed it was just for Paranoid Android stuff.
It didn't do anything. Like, it's not that big a deal. Because I don't really care about having my messaging app or whatever app stuck in the notification drawer.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we got a lot of rumors. Definitely got a lot of rumors coming. HTC may be looking into
rumors. And here comes the fun stuff.
We should record some transitions, and that'd be good. So HTC is looking into something called liquid metal for some of their future devices. I don't know what that means, except the T1000.
Absolutely.
HTC is in conjunction with, because we already know Android, you know, Google is Skynet.
Yeah.
So now
that
they're building.
Makes sense.
I looked it up on Wikipedia because, you know, the authorities for all things on the internet. And this liquid metal is a brand name for some kind of amorphous metal alloy.
That sounds exciting.
Right, right. But what is it going to morph into?
Come with me if you want to live.
Yep, the Terminator. Your phone is going to turn into the Terminator.
No, actually, your Xbox will probably be the first thing your Xbox One will probably be the first thing to turn into Terminator.
It's already tracking you, everything you do. It's always on, connected to Microsoft's 300,000 servers.
It's always listening.
Yep, yep. I've heard that there was a, I don't remember where I was reading, that there was even, they'd be able to, like, tweak settings and tell if there were strangers in your house. If it were you talking or someone else, it could respond to commands to you, that you give it, but nobody else. So goatees. But yeah. We mentioned this already, but the HTC One running vanilla Android may be coming, similar to the Nexus experience, quote-unquote, Galaxy S4. These devices are not Nexus devices. That's been kind of hammered home that these are not in the Nexus line, but they are whatever device running straight-up vanilla Android. I'm curious to see if this trend continues for Google and for OEMs, if it's something that they're going to want to keep doing. Is it kind of a knee-jerk reaction to the development community?
It would be nice to see it continue. I mean, besides the fact that we want it, right. I guess just to give people more options. I wonder if it's going to be confusing because, you know, let's not even get into Samsung's 50,000 different Galaxy S4 models now. But, you know, you have all these different models of the same phone. You have the HTC One, the One X, the One this, the One that, and now you're going to have another one. And then again, with Samsung's all different Galaxy S4 models, I just wonder if it's too many options. I don't know. Like, I hate to call this a bad thing because this is something we've asked for forever, but now I'm kind of second-guessing myself.
Yeah, and on the one hand, I think that could be an issue, but they're all priced at like $600 or $700, so you have to know about it and go looking for it, I feel like.
Yeah, that's probably true. And at least this way, it gives you, you know, the source is open and all that stuff, and at the very least, even if they're not going to support updates, I'm sure the community can pretty easily just because it was straight made for AOSP.
Were you guys listening to Google I.O. when they announced it, and then it got to the end, and he was like, and it costs $649. And there was, like, an audible gasp. Like, the whole room was like, oh.
Yeah.
What?
Exactly.
Yep.
One thing everyone expected. Okay, Galaxy S4 Nexus, that means $350. You know, it's a Nexus.
Yeah. We were all excited until he said $649, and I was like, "There's no, I can't,
no,
I can't,
forget it.
I can't justify. There's no way to justify that to my wife."
Right, right, and I feel like most of us are in the same boat.
No
it's
way.
Just, so yeah. I mean, the HTC One and these reports started coming out this evening after I had put together the agenda, so it wasn't on there. But apparently, with the Nexus experience. HTC One, they're going to kind of limit manufacturing and supply on those up front just to kind of test the waters and see how, you know, what the response is like.
Yeah.
I think even something that's going to be worth it because I don't feel like, John, like you said, the price point's too high. It's not, when most people are still used to going to their carrier and getting a phone for $200, that's what they're going to do again. And then they're going to unlock the bootloader and root it, and it's the same device. The Galaxy S4, the HTC One, they're just putting vanilla Android on it. It's not, because it's not a Nexus device, it's not something that's built around, specifically working with Google, built around vanilla Android.
Yeah, so and I don't understand why they're making them separate. I mean, it seems like it would almost be better to just, okay, go out and buy this. Here's the software update package if you want to change it to AOSP, and then you just download a package and flash it. I don't know. I would think they should be able to do that pretty easily.
That would be great. And I don't know anybody who's picking up one of these developer versions or Google Edition devices and who isn't going to do that anyways. We already know. You know, it's not a... I already know that when I unlock the bootloader, it voids the warranty. if I buy it specifically unlocked from you and then I go tinkering and mess it up, I can take it back to you and say, hey, I screwed this up, but you sold it to me, you know, under the impression that I was going to go tinkering. So fix it for me. If I get it through my carrier and I screw it up, that's on me to either lie about it or own up to it. But, you know, at least that's, it's my responsibility. It's not on the manufacturer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe that's why they won't do it, is because they don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to release those, the software, for people to go tinkering. But they have to assume. I mean, it's called a developer edition, right?
Yeah, it would make sense.
So, but it is heartening to know that, and it's not new news, because we've seen vanilla Android get ported to all kinds of devices over the years, but
yeah, it's heartening to know. Official.
Right, right. And it's, you know, at least we're not going to have issues with everything works except the camera.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, oh, camera works now, but you're still waiting on video.
Yeah, hardware acceleration's broken. Great.
Right. Sorry, it's not high on the priority list for fixing these bugs. We'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, that's story of my life with some of these other phones.
That's just the way it goes, man. When you're if you're not a developer and you don't have time to do it yourself, that's you're stuck waiting sometimes. So
yep. So again, at least it gives us options, right?
Yep. Yep. what else? What else we got? Samsung has a press event coming up on June 20th. Probably not going to hear anything more about the Galaxy S4, obviously. But the Galaxy Tab 3, both the 8-inch and 10.1-inch versions of that, the Galaxy S4 Mini, which is probably just going to be a 4.3-inch Galaxy S4, right? Just a smaller, maybe slightly... It's a slower processor.
It's supposed to be a mid-range device, which...
But running the same software.
Yes.
So...
Which will be interesting to see.
And not to be confused with the HTC Mini, but...
Nope.
You know, we had to go there.
Because I don't care how good the Galaxy S4 Mini is, the HTC Mini blows it out of the water.
Oh, yes.
Because you feel super important carrying an extra phone around. You get to be that guy.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Galaxy S4 Zoom, though, sounds pretty interesting. Sounds like it's going to be an S4 Mini, that same like mid-range device with, you know, last year's quad-core processor and
maybe RAM. Mid-range isn't a good word, because it's basically a Galaxy S3.
Right, so. Maybe the screen's a little smaller, but but the S4 Zoom, they're sticking the camera on it from the Galaxy camera. It's got a 16-megapixel camera with the full software.
Zoom and all that good stuff.
Yep, yep. So
it's real interesting.
Size-wise, I mean, the Galaxy S4 camera obviously is not as big. The screen's small. But that's a thick device, man. I wouldn't want to carry that in my pocket.
Yeah, I don't really know what you would do with that. It would just be so awkward. I can't imagine holding that to my head. It's like holding this thing up to my head all day. I don't know.
Right.
It's weird.
But if how we talk about how Samsung goes and takes a shotgun? Samsung takes a shotgun and shoots a wall and makes a phone for each little pellet in the wall. And this man, I'd love to be an engineer at Samsung, because this seems to be like, if you have an idea, they'll just make it.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, hey, this sounds like a great idea.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And they're an interesting one.
I mean, they got the money. Why not? Why not?
And it works for them, because there was a report that just came out today and it showed that, yet again, Samsung is the biggest smartphone, you know, seller in the whole world by quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And it's because they have 57,000 different models every quarter.
Yep.
In every part of the world.
Yeah.
And they sure update every single one of them in a prompt manner, don't they?
That's right. Hey, nothing. I have to give them props. They have gotten way better about that. They used to never update anything.
Yeah.
So at least most of their stuff in the last year has 4.1.2.
Mm-hmm. Steve Kondik turned that around, man.
I think so, because that's about the time that changed.
Yep.
Now I wonder if that will stick since he's gone.
I feel like, well, and this is not based on anything other than the hopes and dreams of me and my people, that he kind of changed the culture a little bit there.
Yeah.
And we're still seeing that. I mean, he's been gone now for a few months, but even the fact that Samsung went to Google and said, hey, we want to try a Google Edition S4. That was all Samsung. It was presented as an afterthought at I.O. It was like, oh, yeah, hey, by the way, we got this thing happening over here and this thing happening over here. Right here in the middle, hey, we got this S4. It's not a giveaway device. It's not a Nexus device. It's just this thing. Okay, we're done. Yeah. Moving on. That was how it was presented. So that was not Google. That was all Samsung. So.
Oh, that's hope. I mean, and they've been doing a lot of good things in general, I think. So things are turning around there.
Yep. So, let's see. What else? We got rumors.
Well, one thing about that that's really good with Android in general and the philosophy change over the last year or so, how modular things are, that maybe if your phone doesn't get Jelly Bean, at least you're getting the newest version of Gmail. Or you're getting the newest YouTube, you know, all that stuff. Or you can even download the Google Calendar is a big one. I like, you know, just the stock calendar app. So while maybe you might not be getting the latest and greatest version of Android, at least all your core apps and stuff are able to be updated by Google itself. And that's a huge change.
Yes, the Google Play services.
Yep.
At I.O., that changed all that. You're absolutely right, John, because none of that now is tied to, and I shouldn't say none because I'm sure there are some things, but those core apps now are separate. And so basically if you're running 2.2 or up, you've got the updated Google Play services and you'll get those apps now. So in my opinion, obviously I'm not a developer, but that to me was probably the biggest thing at I.O., outside of them killing the Nexus Q, because that broke a lot of hearts, right?
I think the only time that I was sitting there in my chair and I was watching it, and I think the only time that I, like, whooped out loud, I was like, yes, finally, is when they said they've got their notifications will sync across all devices.
Yeah, that was nice. That definitely gets rid of some headaches.
That made me so happy. I was like, I don't have to clear all my Google Hangout messages when I go from one device to the other, or your Gmail. Oh my God, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Google Plus is bad about that too.
Absolutely. I still, and that works almost instantly, very, very seamlessly with everything except Google Voice. I use a Google Voice. If I'm using Google Voice in my browser or the extension in Chrome, when a red message doesn't show up, it will show up red on my phone, but I have to open the app for that notification to clear.
That's probably down to them not having updated voice in forever.
Right. Everything else, it happens in the background. And with voice, it does happen once I open the app. I don't actually have to go in and read each message like I used to. But, that was...
Google Voice just seems like such a... It's like the appendix of your body. It's just kind of there, but no one really knows what it does. And who does... Like, what service is doing the transcriptions of your voicemails? Because that is the most horrible thing.
It's awful.
It's so funny trying to. I'll get the messages on my phone, and I'm like, okay, what is this trying to say? Because this makes no sense at all.
That's actually my favorite part because it's so hilarious.
It's really, really bad. I only use it because it's easier managing a voicemail rather than having to call it and go through the numbers and all that crap. I just delete. All right, done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ashley Esqueva has a podcast, the Tech Foolery podcast, and when people call in to her podcast and they actually read the Google Voice translation or the transcript before they play the voicemail, And sometimes it really annoys me. I'm like, I just want to hear the voicemail, but the stuff they say is so freaking hilarious.
Yep.
Oh, so that's good.
If you haven't heard Tech Foolery, you need to go over there and download their podcast. It's lots of fun.
It is. It is. It's good. And that's I love that bit, man. So that'll get updated eventually. There is a new Gmail app in the works, which is kind of obvious, right? Like, most of these apps are going to get updated at some point. Some of them, like Gmail, haven't been updated in a while. We talk a lot about Google's, you know, their kind of design overall theme and, you know, everything getting hollowed. And the Gmail app is still not. On iOS it is. You've got...
It's beautiful on my phone.
Right. Right. Not so much on the Android side. And, you know, I mean, it's... I can understand why Google would want to focus on a good experience with iOS. Because if you're using Android, you're invested in the Google ecosystem. You're using Gmail. You know, that's... Not, you don't really have... What other options? I have to assume that most people that... have an Android device, even if it's not their primary email address, they have a Gmail address. They're already using it. iOS presents you with mail, not Gmail, right?
Yeah, it's mail. Like,
so they need to make that experience compelling so that people will use Gmail on an iOS device. But at the same time, stop leaving us out in the cold.
Yeah, support your own operating system, right?
My biggest thing with Gmail on both Android and iOS is I wish they would go to a unified inbox, because I have my Android Does email and my personal email.
Yes, that would be nice.
Yeah, so instead of switching back and forth, just, dude, come on.
And that's not part of this new update, right?
I haven't heard anything about a unified inbox.
Nope.
Yeah, okay. Nope. Yeah, I didn't notice it, but maybe I wasn't looking for it, you know?
Yeah. The only things we've seen so far, it was a slide in a Google I/O session about the new theme and, you know, design theme and look of Android, and how to for developers, how to design and build for that. But it just looks like the iOS app. Like, there's no, that's more of a core. And this is one thing that BlackBerry's always done right, is handling that messaging in the unified inbox.
Well, and there's plenty of alternatives too. I mean, I wrote up the enhanced email thing a couple weeks ago. That's a pretty popular one.
Yeah.
I can't even remember some of the other ones out there, Droid Mail or something. There's a whole bunch of different ones out there that'll do that for you. I just don't know that they have, all of them have quite a compelling interface as, I guess, the newest Gmail app probably does.
And that's, I feel like that's core functionality that a lot of people want.
Yep.
And would really like to see. So even if it's something that you know, are able to turn off and turn on, because some people, I'm sure, don't like it. They want to keep their inboxes totally separate. You got four or five or six of them, a couple of personal, a couple of work ones. Maybe you want them separate, but yeah, I'm with you, John. I would love to have all my stuff together.
And anytime you complain about the Gmail app looking really good on iOS and, you know, Google's paying more attention to Apple than they are their own people, just remember that on an iPhone, you can't swipe away you can't archive from notifications. You can't put it in the trash. So, I mean, I actually have to go and open up the app and then swipe, as opposed to just pulling the shade down and swiping. This is something I really miss.
Yeah. Yep, you're right. We shouldn't complain too much, because we still have a leg up.
The inherent OS is better, so, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm not going to get it. Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of mess from Android. And if I could get a phone that would get reception like this freaking iPhone 5 does, I'd be switching in a minute, believe me.
Well, you had that Razer Max for a while, too, that didn't work out as well, either.
I don't know. Whenever the Razer Max went to Ice Cream Sandwich, something happened with those radios where it just went to crap. And I know I'm not the only one that had that issue, and I was hoping Jelly Bean would fix it, and it didn't. And it was flipping back and forth just like my S3 was. So like I said, I tried the iPhone. I was going to give it a couple of days and see how it went, and it was rock solid, and I couldn't turn it down because where I'm at, you know, maybe some guys who listen to the podcast don't know where I'm at. I don't have any access to broadband. I had satellite internet for a while, and it was horrible and expensive, and Verizon LTE is my best bet, and using a Wilson Electronics repeater outside, and it pulls the signal inside real good, and I haven't been, it's going from like dial-up to LTE. It's like I jumped into the 21st century.
Night and day.
Night and day, exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, at least that. So you know, maybe a repeater would help me too.
Yeah, right.
Big fan of Wilson Electronics. They're a real good company. If you have any cell phone reception issues, you really need to look into them because they make stuff for your car too. And I've got my sleek 4G LTE. They make them for Verizon and AT&T, and it installed in like 15 minutes. And it works unlike anything else I've ever seen. These guys actually know what they're doing. You know, don't spend $30 at Best Buy. You know, spend the $100, get the thing that works really good. And, you know, Wilson, hey, dude, I just gave you some advertising.
Yeah, they didn't pay us for that or anything. So,
no.
And that's, I'm glad you said that, man, because I don't have reception issues where I'm at except in my townhouse. You walk in, you know, that brick and stuff gets in the way.
Mm.
So I thought about picking something up. Yeah, I thought about picking something up that you know, Verizon has them too, but they're all like $250 for some kind of repeater that runs off broadband.
Yeah, and they've got units that you can actually stick like right outside your window, and you don't have to like go up on the roof. And I know on a townhouse that's probably not even an option. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't think I could access the roof from inside. I'd have to get a real tall ladder and go outside. So,
hey, get off the roof!
right. And then, yeah, somebody's going to drive by and yell at me about it. So, but yeah, the that new Gmail app is on its way, and hopefully not too far behind it, Android 4.3. That's shown up now in photos from a tech expo in Thailand.
What? Freaking everywhere.
Yep.
Would have said that at I.O.
We didn't get to see much of it. Just a couple of images. The about screen. And it just said Android 4.3. And then the you know, the Easter egg with the jelly bean popped up. But it said 4.3. So
I'm sure that was a lot of work to change that.
Yes. Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, too, man. Like, that stuff's easily faked. But it wasn't a screenshot. It was a – so maybe somebody edited a build-out prop and
– well, yeah, look at CyanogenMod. If you go on there, it just changes the little Jelly Bean Android to SID.
Right.
It's the same thing. Right. I'm sure somebody just changed the other thing. But it was running about on that one with the camera?
Right. It was running on a Nexus 4. But then the – and so my first thought was, right, some knucklehead over in Thailand was like, her, this will be fun at this tech expo. I'm going to go ahead and change this on this to Nexus 4 just to mess with people. But then right after those images popped up, there was a video of the Android 4.3 camera. So, again, we couldn't see much of it, but the settings are moved. So right now on the 4.2 camera, you can touch in the middle of the screen, and it'll pop up the settings menu, which is great. It's easily accessible, but your hand gets in the way. You got to kind of roll your thumb to be able to see anything. So in this video, when he hits the screen, instead of a circle kind of all the way around his thumb with the settings, it's just a single crescent, like a line, and the settings are above that. And as you kind of roll your finger up, the settings open up above, so you can always see, which is a welcome change. But again, it doesn't show us much. We still know zip about Android 4.3, except the camera settings have changed.
And if it even exists at all.
Right. Maybe they're just going to scrap it and jump to Key Lime Pie next year and, you know, give manufacturers and users a chance to catch up a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. I feel like we're going to continue to see the big jump to anything over ice cream sandwich as people, you know, their upgrades come up through this summer, people buying new phones and things, you're going to see that increase more. But
yep.
We also saw a possible Galaxy Note 3 spotted in benchmarks. Again, pretty easily faked, these AnTuTu benchmarks. It's not the first time that we've seen some of these settings faked. But if this is right, it's a Galaxy Note 3 with a 1.6 gigahertz processor, again, running Android 4.3. So, and then just today, we saw a Nexus 7, the same Nexus 7 that we have now. It's the same SKU, the same, you know, model numbers. None of that's changed. But running I believe it was JWR 11, which is one of like two or three build numbers for Android 4.3. Getting, I guess, recertified on the Bluetooth Special Interest Group website. So it's not a new Nexus 4. If it's got the same model number, if it had a new processor or a new, you know, higher resolution screen, something like that, they would have changed the model number. But the rumors say Android 4.3 is going to support. Is it Bluetooth 4.0? New, like, low power?
The low energy, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was one of the few things that I think was talked about. I can't remember if it was at I.O. or just before it, but I think that was one of the only actual, I guess, new things announced for Android, it seemed like.
Yep. Yep, that support's coming, so.
And the only reason I actually know anything about Bluetooth LE or Bluetooth 4.0 is because I was looking at getting a review unit for the Fitbit Flex.
Okay.
Okay, the one that goes on your wrist. And it syncs with the app on the Galaxy S3 and the Galaxy S4 and the Note 2. And as far as I know, those are the only Android hardware right now that supports 4.0. And it's actually a real big pain. I hope it's something that changes. Maybe it was discussed at I.O. and I missed it, but that Bluetooth hardware is not available to third-party apps. So Fitbit had to essentially go and build their own kernel for that and then put it in the app, which is why they're only supporting a couple of phones right now. But as that comes out, you know, hopefully that'll be supported on more Android devices.
Oh, way to make it easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I'm sure that will. I'm sure that'll change, but that's frustrating, man.
Yeah, well, I don't even think 4.0 has a real spec yet, does it? Isn't it still not proprietary, but what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's not a finished final spec.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I haven't looked into it.
Stuff like that's happened. Well, that was like 802.11. I mean, I know for a while, I think Wireless N, wasn't it? Wasn't that the one where they were releasing N routers, but there was no standard yet? It was like, well, we kind of have an idea of this, but...
They're doing that right now with AC.
Yeah.
It's not finalized.
Nice.
But you can go pick up a $250, $300 router that supports it. If your home internet is like 100 or 150 gigs plus, then it's, you know, what's the point?
Google Fiber, man.
Right,
oh,
yeah.
God, Google Fiber. Ugh.
That would be if I had Google Fiber and my phone also supported those kind of speeds. But if you look at a G router with 56 meg connection, you know, like that's what they're rated at. Who's got so faster home internet than that?
So much fapping.
Yes. Yes. And now we're starting to see, you know, announcements that it's going to expand a little bit in a couple other places.
Oh,
so.
Please. Please. Please, Utah. Orlando.
I looked at Utah. I really did look at the one in Utah.
Did you? Maybe I'll move.
Yeah. It makes me want to move. I'll tell you what, because it's something else. Freaking amazing. Yeah, $300 for a lifetime 5 meg internet. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife's she's got a book out with Harlequin right now.
Yeah.
And it's been accepted, and they wanted her to do a couple rewrites, so we're waiting on the final word on the contract. But she's like, yeah. So she's spending all this money in her head. I'm like, we need to move to Utah. What's in Utah? Like, fast internet.
The internets are all in Utah.
Dude, you could just go a little bit north to Kansas City. You'd be good to go.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
I entertained that in my head for about 2 days and then realized I could never talk my wife into moving to Tornado Alley. So,
yeah, that's the biggest problem there.
But Utah, there's, depending on where you're at, the winters might be harsh, but not a lot of weather. So,
not a rock.
Yep.
Galaxy Note 3?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Ooh. We talked about the benchmarks on that. Have we seen, other than the 1.6 gig processor, 3 gigs of RAM, 13 megapixel camera, 5.99 inch screen, like?
We saw Snapdragon 800 today, which I'm really hoping on because I've been less than, maybe pleased is a good word, with the Exynos.
Okay.
I don't know, there's a lot of stupid issues with it seems like. And I don't know if that's just the ROMs I run or what, but it seems like the Snapdragon processors just don't have the same issues as the Exynos does.
And I've heard that.
Ramping issues and whatever.
Yeah, development on those apparently is a pain in the butt. There was all kinds of, because we don't see a lot of those. I mean, you got, is the S3 an Exynos processor?
The International S3.
Right. Okay. And then, but I'm thinking here in the States, we've got like the Note 2, and there's not very much that where we see those.
Yeah, I think the Note 2, and then I want to say there was one or two Galaxy S2 variants, depending on your carrier that had an Exynos, but I think that's it in the U.S. I was going to say the S4 is a Snapdragon 600.
Right. I talked to a guy on Twitter in Indonesia. He's Japanese, but he lives over there, and he is all the time talking about developer issues with those. Mostly laughing at people complaining about them, but he's
be compassionate.
Yeah, at Jet Shinoda, if you get a chance, he's hilarious. Go follow him on Twitter. He's great. But
you have to get on the. Android does Twitter and give him a FF.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Good plan.
So we'll get those out too. We gave Ashley Skate a shout out too, so make sure to mention them. And just, you know, it's fun talking to good people, but.
Yeah. It's a good community. It's an awesome community, you know. It's all about community, man. It's all about the love.
It is. And being a hippie like John.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
Or an old man like John, either way.
There you go. How about some app news?
Speaking of old man, I'll have to bring that up when we do our roundup. Yeah, I've got something.
Something good? Okay. Hold on to that. We'll run through a couple of apps here, and then we'll... because again, things have been kind of quiet on the news front. If you haven't noticed, we were talking about this before we kicked the show off. Lots of rumors and not a lot of like big news. We've had our announcements from CES. We've had all the stuff in the springtime being announced. And now, you know, CTIA, which really didn't include much of anything.
And then I'm glad I didn't spend $1,500 to go out there.
Aren't you?
CTIA.
You were talking about it. Leading up to it. Man, I wish I could go.
And Jennifer Lopez.
You could have got up close and taken a picture of J-Lo. That's
about the only redeeming value.
Yep. You could have sat through Ashton Kutcher's fireside chat. That would have been...
I probably would have gone out there and spent all my money and not had a way home.
This is awful. I'm going to a casino.
Vegas. okay, let's talk about Google Drive.
Yeah.
tangent. It
got updated today with a new UI. I don't know if it was today, but recently.
The other day, yeah.
New UI, cloud print support, which is pretty cool. Better scanning for receipts and business cards. And
that's a big deal.
It is, because that's something that I've used Evernote for in the past.
Yes.
I've been using CamScan for a while now for that.
Huh. I've never heard of that one. That's cool.
I think it's called CamScan. We're going to look it up now.
No, Nick, you're thinking of Snapchat. Oh, God.
I've been taking pictures of receipts with Snapchat.
Oh, never mind.
Whoops. Not saving those.
Oh, boy.
I've noticed I've been finding myself using Google Keep a little bit more just for quick notes.
Yes.
Which is something I had used Evernote for in the past, but the web, it's just really, it's more simplified. So if I just want a quick note, I pull up Keep recently now. But if Google is going to introduce this, you know, receipt scanning, business card scanning, being able to take pictures, if they can make it searchable the way Evernote does, I'll stop using Evernote. Evernote's fantastic. It's a great service, but I'm already embedded in everything Google. So
I'm pretty sure it does, because I'm pretty sure you scan it and it has OCR, and you can search the text.
Yeah, okay, well, then it's right. It's been fun, Evernote.
If there's a way to export everything that I have in Evernote into Google in one step, that would be awesome, because I have so much stuff in Evernote. Right, I have the serial and model number of the air conditioner in our living room. In Evernote, right. You know, I just threw everything in there I could possibly think of. So it's going to be hard for me to get off of that.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll ever come out with some kind of a, you know, import-export function.
Google's good about that. You can download all your stuff from Google and just close your account if you want to.
Right. Will we be able to get it from Evernote, though? Like, will they make the equivalent of a, you know, CSV file for your contacts, but... Right. All your crap from Evernote.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice, but it's nice to see this update at least with Google Drive. So we saw CubeRoot app, which I don't know how interested you guys are in this, because I like Google TV. I use it all the time. Your mileage may vary on Google TV, but I really like mine, and I'm a fan. So I've been thinking about upgrading. I've kind of been tossing around the idea of, do I want a Vizio CoStar? Do I want to, you know, spend a little bit more and get a Sony box? Do I want this Asus Cube? So it was rooted with an app, which is a first for any kind of Google TV. In the past, it's been hardware roots. Like, you got to open the box and solder a new chip in to root the thing. Yeah. Right. What's the point? Because it doesn't add a lot of functionality. But with... the announcement now that Google TV is moving up to Jelly Bean 4.2 at some point, assuming that Vizio CoStar and the Asus Cube and the LG's announced that their TVs will be updated, so these newer boxes should be updated as well. Having a root app, you know, it might add some extra functionality. The CubeRoot app did that. GTV Hackers, those guys got that up. It was up in the Play Store for 5 whole days. Google yanked it. Not surprised, right? It's the way it goes. What was cool, though, is with that app, there was an option to close the root exploit because it actually was a security risk. So the GTV hacker guys were saying, even if you don't want to root your Google TV box, which is fine, you know, obviously it's not going to add a ton of extra functionality, but if it's something even they built in a script to close that exploit. So at least you were protected. Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's nice of them.
Yep. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Software update. Yeah.
Is in the Play Store now.
Yes.
Which is exciting because it's full on. It's not like, it's not a port of, you know, some game ROM running in an emulator, and then they upload it to the Play Store and call it a game, and it's going to be buggy. They actually took the game, ported it properly, and you can go get it now. All the original music. It's classic Sonic, man.
That's
for what, like $3?
The original. Oh, yeah.
It's what?
Twice the frame rate of the original. Because the original was only 30 frames a second. It was, I mean, I guess compared to other Sonics, it was pretty slow.
Right.
So now you can go fast.
Good. Good. Double Twist. Got an update, too, if you're a fan of Double Twist Music Player.
I tried to like it. I just didn't like it.
Maybe I played with it like it now.
Maybe. Now it's all hollowized.
I'll have to try it again. Because same thing, I tried a long time ago, and I hated the interface. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I even paid for the Pro and all that stuff, and it just didn't sync with my computer the way I wished it that it did. But
well, Double Twist was one of those that was supposed to be able to sync with iTunes, right?
Yeah, that was one of the things I did. And
didn't work.
It was really buggy. It was buggy. Yeah. Really slow, too, like super slow. Like hours to sync my, I don't know what was wrong, but.
Weird. Unless you've got, like, you know, 150 gigs of music, shouldn't take that long.
No.
Also, where are you putting that on your phone? That's a lot of space. Anyway. Yeah, so if you're a fan of Double Twist, or if you are, like, the three of us and you've tried it and never really got into it, go check it out. It was updated. And then Pebble. We're starting to see some development come on with Pebble. I'm kind of excited about Google Glass. I'm absolutely excited about smartwatches, wearable tech. Like, that's something that I could pick up and use in my day-to-day life right now and not feel, you know, I still don't know that I would. There's not an occasion to wear glass all the time, but there is absolutely an occasion to wear a watch. And if it tells you all the things about your phone, also, I love it.
And Pebble is awesome, too. I have a friend with one of those, and it's just, I don't know, it's a really solid little piece of equipment. And the more functionality they add like this, I mean, this is a huge update.
Yeah, this was
the floodgates.
Yeah. What happened is Pebble updated the functionality so that now not only can your phone talk to your watch and send notifications for email or text messages or what have you, now your phone can communicate, your watch can communicate with your phone, so it works the other way too. Developers can build apps that will control your phone from your watch. We're already starting to see some of those. There was one today that it's really basic. It lets you change the volume settings, so you can go just louder or down to vibrate or whatever from your watch. So the little things like that I don't have to pull my phone out of my pocket. I know I'm going into a meeting, look at my watch, hit a couple buttons, now it's vibrating. Some of that stuff I have automated with Tasker, but being able to have it on my wrist all the time is fantastic. So maybe I'll pick up a Pebble.
Yeah, because then if you forget to turn on vibrate, you just quick, you know. Right. You don't have to pull it out of your pocket or something, fix it, whatever. It just makes it more convenient. It's great.
So, yes, good things. Good things. That's going to be, I think, a purchase for me in the near future. I'm happy enough with my Galaxy Nexus. I'm not looking to buy a new phone. Maybe an S4. Maybe I'll wait. Undecided. But I need a smartwatch. I'm decided on that. So. Well, yeah, that's what we got today for, you know, news, rumors, apps, hardware stuff. What's new in your guys' world, John? You're talking about old men getting off your lawn. What do you?
This should be good.
Oh no, it's not a big thing. It's just that over Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff, I kind of hit the little, you know, the holiday spirit a little too hard and kind of laying around and eating a lot of turkey. And anyway, my weight really ballooned there for a while.
Yeah.
And I was pushing 275. I'm 6'1". I'm tall, but that's a lot of weight to carry around. And so I've been using an Android app called MyFitnessPal. And what this does is helps you track your calories. You put your information in, how much you weigh, how much you, how tall you are, you know, it does your BMI and all that stuff. But you can adjust it to how active you are, and it gives you calories. and it makes it really easy to track all the food that you're eating. And so the first couple of weeks, I guess maybe the first week I was using it, where I actually was honest with myself and like weighed the food and measured it out and started looking at labels. And actually, the app actually lets you scan the UPC codes of the food that you're doing. So if you've got bread, you don't have to look up wheat bread. You can just scan the code, and it brings up the wheat bread that you're using right there. So between, I think my New Year's resolution to myself was to lose weight. Who doesn't do that every year? But right. With MyFitnessPal and another app called Endomondo Pro, there's a free version of it which does all the same things, but the pro version, like, you know, you can set goals and stuff for yourself. So I think I spent the $3 or $4 and got the pro version. But Endomondo talks to MyFitnessPal. So when I do exercise with Endomondo, like today I did 41 minutes of walking today and burned 387 calories. That automatically went to MyFitnessPal, and boom, I've got an extra almost 400 calories that I can eat, you know.
Right.
So the two work really well together. Like I said, everything that I exercise, I'm able to put into Endomondo. The walking and running and cycling and stuff is automatic because it's using GPS to track your workouts. But if I come inside and work on the weight bench or something, I can put that in there too. All those calories go to MyFitnessPal. And I am right at 29 pounds lost, so I'm about to hit 30 pounds.
Nice.
It's killer. Really, it's working. You just got to put your mind to it. I just want to put that out there. I know a lot of people who work in tech sit behind a computer all day. You know, it's easy to let that get out of control, and that's exactly what I had done. World of Warcraft!
Right, man. You're sitting on your butt all day, snacking, and
yeah.
Next thing you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's not that bad, and I've had to change my diet and stuff, but it's working, so I'm going to keep at it.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. That is awesome. And I've been there, man. Almost the same thing.
I know, so. We've been really bad. What's new with you, Jeremiah? What's new in your Android world?
What's new with me? I've been, like I said, I've been using Google Keep more, both on my phone and on the web, just because the site's really, the web interface is really clean, really simple. So I've been using that more, and I've been using the heck out of Google Music All Access.
Yes, me too.
So I had Spotify, and I had kind of compared Spotify and RDO, and for what, the RDO interface is so nice. And they've got, on occasion, newer, I listen to a lot of, like, metal and indie rock, and they would have some newer things before Spotify would, but Spotify seemed to have a bigger catalog overall. So I went with Spotify. I was paying $5 a month for it just to get rid of the ads, because I hated ads every couple of songs, but I wasn't streaming it on my phone. When Google announced All Access, I was like, whatever, I'll at least sign up for it and check it out, because I use it literally all day, every day at work. I've got headphones in. Even if I'm talking to a client on the phone, I've got an earbud in the other ear listening to music. So Google All Access is phenomenal. It's a really good mix. It's got everything that I wanted on Spotify. It's all there in All Access. And I get it on my phone now for $7.99 when that kicks in you know, a couple of weeks, because I'm a week and a half or whatever, 2 weeks into the trial.
Go ahead and mention that special pricing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Google announced at I.O., if you sign up for the free trial between any time up until June 30th, and you lock that in, you get it for $7.99 instead of $9.99. So it saves you $2 a month. Gives you access to it on the web, gives you access to it streaming over your phone. You get it all and you save a couple of bucks a month. If you don't like it, you just got to remember to go in and cancel after 30 days. And it tells you, when I signed up for the trial, it sent me an email that said, hey, you have, I think it was June 14th, because I did it right after they announced it. I was like, hey, let me go check this out.
Yeah.
So it said, and it said in the email, hey, we're going to charge your card $7.99 every 30 days starting on June 14th or whatever it was. So it's not something where you're going to have to worry about a charge popping up on your card all of a sudden. Go check it out. If you don't like it, just remember to go in and cancel it. But I've been a fan. I was hesitant to move to – I like Spotify, and I like the interface. I've got a whole crap ton of playlists, which is kind of annoying because I'm going to have to go in and rebuild some of that stuff and all access. But that's what I've been doing, man. That's what's new for me. Next week I'll probably have some new ROM stuff because I'm going to check out Paranoid Android. But
beautiful. See, I was using the All Access thing too. I would say my only word of warning to people, especially if you have some sort of data cap like I do, make sure you turn off caching, because I was looking at my data usage today and I'm like, how the heck am I already at 2 gigs? I still have a week and a half of my cycle. I go into my data usage, I see, oh, look at that. Google Play Music is over a gig. What the heck? And I look into it, background was 0.98 gigs. I'm like, oh, wow, there goes half of my data for the month.
I was reading about this online too, Nick. The other thing is, and this is something that Google has to build in to the phone app. Right now, there's not a way to turn off high quality streaming. With Spotify,
does it not work?
It doesn't turn it down for your phone. Apparently, it always streams at the highest quality. So you're getting somewhere between 256 and 320 kilobits on the settings when you're streaming.
Yeah, it sounds good, and you will like it.
Right. Yeah, I guess depending on how much you stream. But even, like I was saying, the foreground, I think I was at like 170 megs. Whoop-de-doo, it doesn't matter. But my background was literally a gig. It was rough.
Wow. Yeah.
And I don't want to be throttled for a week and a half. It's going to suck.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I don't use it on my phone all that often. Specifically for that reason, because I'm not on an unlimited data plan anymore.
You had to ditch your phone and go all hippie with the flip phone. Use your wireless.
I don't know if hippies would get rid of their. I think they would have just dropped the phone altogether, but and went and lived in the countryside in a commune. And but yes, I did. Honestly, though, man, I think I would have switched anyways because I end up saving money.
Oh, okay.
Even on the lower plan, obviously. I'm not using it as much, so I'm trading that, you know, couple extra dollars, 20, 30 bucks a month, whatever it is I'm saving. I'm losing that freedom, I guess, that functionality. Because I used to burn 12, 15 gigs a month just downloading, and this was all over 3G, but downloading ROMs and, pre-Thunderbolt, I had an OG Droid, and then I picked up a Droid Incredible. Yeah. So, ROMs and Pandora all day, every day, like I do with Spotify now. Mm-hmm. But it was Pandora. So, yep, definitely need to figure out how to get some Wi-Fi at work. But that would take care of that ROM.
Today's the last day of my billing, of my cycle. I'm at 33 gigs.
That's pretty low for you.
It is low for me.
Right. It's a light bulb, man.
I think my wife's usage has picked up. My kid knows not to touch my phone. So he'll go and get her phone, and he's literally on YouTube from the time she gets home to the time he goes to bed, looking at Disney and Nick Jr. and all that stuff. Most inappropriate videos you could ever think of. I'm like, what are you watching?
Nickelodeon.
I started you on Disney Junior, and now you're over here looking at big boobs of the week or something.
Right. Well, gotta watch out, man.
Yeah, you gotta definitely monitor your kids on the internet, parents.
Yep.
Internet.
I was wondering, Nick, what about you, man? I won't even go into that. What's new in your world, man?
I always try to get into gaming on these stupid touch devices, and I always hate it. But I picked up a few more things. I think the only thing that really I've been enjoying is Mosaic. It's I think it came out 2 weeks ago. It's a puzzler. I'm not really sure how to describe it. I would say if you like something like Luminous or Tetris or anything along that line, you'd probably like this a lot. I think it was $1. Really simple controls. It's like a color-based block type of thing. But it's a little different from all the other ones out there. It's not just following blocks and you match the colors. It's a little more strategic, it seems like. So I've been enjoying that. I picked up Afterburner. It was on sale for 99 cents. That looks sick, but it's boring because it's, I don't know. I love Afterburner, but it's a 30-year-old game for a reason.
Right.
You only have so much fun with it, I guess. And then, of course, that Carmageddon, what was it, 2 weeks ago for free?
I was thinking the exact same thing about Carmageddon, man. I downloaded it and played it a couple times, and I was like,
Yeah. I beat the first few levels, and I'm pretty happy with that. I think I'll never play it again.
Yep.
Fun little nostalgic trip, but, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, you guys were talking about 30-year-old games. I don't want to step on your little time here, Nick, but Tetris got an update. With Tetris Blitz. Have you looked at that yet?
Is that the EA multiplayer one?
It's not multiplayer. I don't think it's multiplayer. Like, you can compare your scores to people that you might know on Facebook, but it takes Tetris and it boils it down to 2 minutes, and the little cubes don't drop from the top anymore. You just tap where you want them to go, and it's ultra fast, and they've done all sorts of power-ups. It's really fun.
Nice.
I think this is the one that I'm thinking of. I never played it, but yeah, it does look interesting. I'll have to give that a shot. It's free too, which is nice.
Yep.
As long as it doesn't require Facebook.
Nope. Right.
That's good.
Can I do this without logging in?
I hate that crap.
Yeah.
There was something that I downloaded the other week that required Facebook. I'm like, well, I tried it.
Oh no. Angry Birds.
That was the one. Yep. Yeah, that straight up pissed me off because I really wanted to play that. I'm like, wow, finally, a reason to play Angry Birds again. You know, competing with people. This might be cool. Nope. Requires Facebook. Don't have it. Too bad.
Requires Facebook. You cannot play it by yourself.
You can play the tutorial. I actually put the tutorial because I was like, oh, maybe it does. Maybe it does work without Facebook. Yeah. As soon as you finish the tutorial, please sign in with Facebook. Nope. See you later. Uninstall.
That sucks.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
It's bad enough that I can't. It's bad enough that I can't get off Candy Crush.
Yeah, you can blame that a lot.
I saw a commercial on TV for Candy Crush Saga last week. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. People are spending so much money on that game. I refuse to spend a penny on it.
I think. I don't want to look right now. I don't feel like looking. But last time I checked, I'm pretty sure it was still number one in the games section.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know where the heck that one came from. Because that's another, like, it's just a block dropping game, isn't it? It's not anything that...
Bejeweled or something, right?
Special. Yeah, it looked exactly like Bejeweled. I just
wasn't they
sure
gated.
I didn't know what that was.
So the magic thing is to gate it and only give you 5 tries at it before you have to sit there and either pay money or beg for lives or wait half an hour for each life. So the fact that you can't just grind away at it for half an hour or an hour until you get it, you got to sit there and wait and pay for it. That's what makes it so. That's the magic formula, and that's what these game developers have figured out.
This sounds like Real Racing.
Yeah.
I got to the point in Real Racing where I can't get any further without paying money. Like the car, I've got my car all maxed out, but the car I have isn't good enough to compete in the events that I'm doing because you got to spend the driver gold to get the real good car. So I've kind of stopped playing that.
I hit that wall with Dungeon Quest. I played that for a while. And I ended up, I bought some gold a couple times just because it was $1. And it turned the ads off, which was nice.
If it's a good game and you want to support the developer, by all means, go ahead and and pay a couple bucks.
I just hate getting nickel and dimed every 5 minutes. That's what drives me crazy.
Right. After a couple times with Dungeon Quest, I was like, okay, I'm done.
But, you got your fill.
Yep. Well, yeah, I think that's it then, man. We are
hour and a half done. With nothing
a good
to
show.
Talk about.
It was a good show, yeah. Going into it with some news and a whole bunch of rumors. I don't feel like we had a lot of dead air tonight. It was a good show. So I definitely appreciate you guys hanging out tonight. You can find us at AndroidDoes.net. Stay tuned. Whether news is fast, news is slow, we're bringing it to you. You can find us on Twitter, at AndroidDoes, on Google+, Facebook, wherever you are, we are. So check us out. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Android Does Show. But thanks for hanging out tonight. You guys have a good one.
See you guys.
Later.